There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Good afternoon. Joining us on the line now is Jaffa Moore, better known as Geoffrey Moore, son of the legendary actor Sir Roger Moore and godson of Frank Sinatra. He started working in the entertainment industry in 1973 when he appeared as a child actor in the film Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. He produced Roger Moore's final movie, The Saint. He's also a singer and musician. His new album, Photograph, features the single You and I, recorded with the late singer and Glee actor Naya Rivera. The accompanying music video is absolutely fantastic. It includes guest appearances from a host of stars, including Sir Michael Caine, Dame Joan Collins, Liam Neeson, Piers Morgan, Graham Norton, Joanna Lumley, the list goes on. And it's all in tribute to Sir Roger Moore. Welcome to the show, Jaffa.
Hello, Hannah. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. And what an amazing project, an amazing video this must have been to create, first of all.
Yeah, it took a long time. It really did. And, you know, it spawned from my daughter, Amber, and I, who she helped me produce the video. Getting all these people on board just took forever because of their availability, getting film crews out there. And so the array of all these people and the census, the ethos was, when I approached them, I said, look, I'll make it easy on you. If you don't think the song is good, which is a pretty good excuse, even if the song is good, the person goes, I don't like it. So I said, if you don't like the song, then I know that that's the answer. And fortunately, everyone said yes.
Oh, that's amazing.
So the song must be good enough.
That's great. So tell us a bit about the song.
Well, it really came, you know, I was with my daughter, we were talking, how could we win an Oscar? But then the rub is that you're going to have to create a movie for the Academy to consider a best song. So we created a feature documentary, a satirical documentary on how to win an Oscar. And so basically the tail was wagging the dog. So the idea is that, you know, we'd win an Oscar and tribute it to the late Sir Roger. And at the same time, majority of the proceeds would go to UNICEF, which he felt so passionate about, and dedicated his last 20, 25 more, gave up his film career for them.
Mm. And what about the theme in the song, the lyrics and You and I, what's the song trying to say?
Well, I wanted to combine, without it sounding mushy or cheesy and too much of a sort of a Christmas song or of, you know, We Are the World, is the idea of the environment without it sort of being shoved down your throat, that there are issues. And just to subtly touch on that point, where in one of the lines of one of the lyrics is, picture yourself in a magical sky that's slowly dying. Children are in despair, but do we really care? Everyone, you know, some of us have more to give and others have no place to live. So it was really, you know, creating awareness just without it being too cheesy. And also, that's why sort of the influence of Queen, you know, with there's the guitar lick that goes, and that's sort of a bit more of you know, we will trying to get that kind of approach. And also the album Photograph is dedicated, it's a derivative of the 70s and the 80s, those two decades, which I think continues to influence music today. I mean, the 70s was live bands, live instruments meets electronic ones in the 80s. So the album, it's engulfed. The album definitely has that sound of those two decades together. Yeah. And the great feedback I've been having, I don't know if you've had time to hear the album, but the great feedback is that I haven't heard one person say, everyone says, I love uni and that's why we chose it. And the video was done. And we figured, you know, this would be a a good way of making some noise and getting it out there. But I haven't heard one person say, oh, I really like that song, or I really like it. It's always one song here, one song there. Mm. It's never the same song, which is a pretty good sign. That's I think the songs are all good enough.
Yeah, that's a really good sign. How did the collaboration with Naya Rivera come about? Because, of course, she's sadly no longer with us.
Yeah, that's also why the song is tributed to her as well as my dad. It basically, my daughter Amber was watching Glee, you know, the Gwyneth Paltrow show.
Mm.
And Naya was singing, and I said, goodness, she'd be, wanted to do a duet, figured that it would be great actually to get as many people on the track to record, you know, to sing. And really couldn't find a male, not one male. I could find either they were too busy, or they have another charity, or they just didn't feel like doing it. Whatever the case was, and that's why I ended up singing with Naya. But she was on the show, and my daughter, who introduced me to her, I said, "God, it'd be great to have her." And the next thing you know, she was in the studio with us.
Amazing! And how long ago was that?
2018, 2019.
Wow.
Yeah.
These things can take so long, can't they? Was it the video that kind of held it all back, or all the other album tracks? Was this one of the first ones you made?
That was one of the first ones I made. And at the same time, you know, I was writing for an artist and I was sending the songs in for a new album just to, you know, to see whether that artist liked some of the songs. And so there was interest. And they said, send us some more. And I said, well, unfortunately, there was an engineer that's been singing in her place because she couldn't make it. Mm-hmm. And so I was called in, and they said, we'd like to meet the engineer. And after 5 minutes of saying he's running late, I said, actually, I can't hold it anymore. It's me. So I was never really supposed to be singing. So eventually it developed through Wright's recording, John Kaufman from Nova Universal. He basically, thanks to him, has made it happen.
Mm.
And he was the one that believed them. And I never really thought, I thought they're okay. You know, maybe that's, I might be self-deprecating or trying to fish for a compliment, but genuinely, truly, I didn't really think much of my songwriting. And then when I heard it mastered, I thought, wow, this is actually, it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
Brilliant. And nice to put a lot of work into something and to be able to be proud of it at the end of it. Mm. That's great.
Mm. Mm. Most definitely. And especially when you see the CD on the, you know, on the HMV shelf.
Oh, yes.
Which John sent it to me. And it's a bit like, you know, in the film world, you know, you've made a movie when you're sitting in the theater and you can hear the projection reel turning.
Yeah, wonderful.
And so, you know, and he said, you know, 40 years in the business and seeing a CD on the shelf always gets to him, still gets to me. I see that and I go, yes, he did it.
Fantastic. Yeah. So I have to ask you about your time growing up with your father, your extremely famous, popular father. How was that for you? How was it to have your father being James Bond?
It was terrible. It was horrible. Yeah. I mean, at home, he was dead, you know. He's being paid to make believe, to lie on screen. So he found it all, he took it with a, you know, pinch of salt, and walking down the street, he took it with such a great stride, you know, held his head high and really didn't take himself very seriously. So growing up with him, he was just dead. First time I recognized how famous he was is when he first came to pick me up at school. He was always at the studio. So I either hitched a ride or someone else came to pick me up. And he came once, and I realized how famous he was when the car, we couldn't move because there were all my schoolmates and elders and youngers going around the car and we couldn't move. That's when I realized they were banging on the window. I thought, ooh, this TV, you mean there are other people that watch TV?
That must have been weird. And did people after that, when you know, friends and teachers and everybody knew who your father was and how famous he was, did people react to you differently?
Sure, but then it wore off.
Okay. Which I guess is a good thing.
Yeah. You know, it's a sort of, actually, cool that you didn't bring it up yourself, you know, cool that you didn't talk about it. I think, you know, if you go around, it's like when I met, you know, when I used to come back from holidays and I was hanging out with some huge celebrities, you know, by the pool or, you know, at dinners. And I learned my lesson very early. You know, I said, first of all, you know, they're not going to believe you. And even if they do, they're going to be a bit envious and pick on you more.
Yeah.
And so it's human nature. And so I just never really shared it, kept it to myself. And you know, I really did have quite some stories to tell. Had I had a smartphone, had I had an iPhone, had I had a device, then they would have been queuing to see who I had dinner with,
and
who I was hanging out with.
You could have made some great TikTok videos.
Yeah. And the joke is, it's our generation, my generation, that because I can't see you, Hannah, I don't know. You sound so young and
I'll
beautiful.
Take that.
But the our generation created this technology, and we're the last to know how to use it.
Mm. It's a weird one. So I have to ask you about your own career in acting. I mentioned in the introduction appearing as a child actor in Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Were you aware of kind of wanting to follow in your dad's footsteps? I mean, how did that come about?
Well, his footsteps were three times my size, so I said no to heck with that. I'm not gonna try and follow his footsteps. He's out. I just enjoyed the snacks on the sets in the studio. I enjoyed the craft, you know, little thing where you could just get eat as many donuts as you wanted. And it was, you know, you didn't have to ask anyone. I love the idea of sitting in a little Winnebago and having someone come in and lay out the clothes for you. I really felt like Lord Fauntleroy. It was terrific. And that sort of magic on set, the magic of us, of, you know, it takes, whether it be 150 people on a unit or 500, it takes everybody collectively to make that happen. So there's a sense of unification. It's a wonderful environment. It's so privileged. You know, if you go see Tom Cruise on Mission, you go see how he is with all the staff, all the crew, and how they all treat him, and how it's just amazing, amazing. I mean, it's a traveling circus, I guess.
Mm. And looking back at all the different things you've done in your career, what are some of the real highlights that stand out for you?
Passing my grades at school.
I love it. Fair enough. Well done for that.
Yeah, I said, how the heck did I pull that one off? I promise you I wasn't cheating.
And I mean, in all seriousness, I wanted to ask you about restaurants as well, because you really got into restaurants. Mm. You founded the Hush of Mayfair restaurant chain.
Yes. Yes.
You worked with Gordon Ramsay on Hell's Kitchen and was on morning television. That must have been fun.
Yeah. That was, it was. And I tell you what kept me going. It was very much like putting on a theatre piece. You know, the waiters are your actors and the dialogue are the specials of the day. And the punter, the ticket master, the ticket buyer, the customer who's coming in, wants to see the same show as he saw the other week, wants to have the same dish or the same service. So that sort of consistency, and it was like putting on a theatre piece. And also the sort of full arc of a business, like you're coming out of a recording studio and your fridge is empty and you're tired and you can't find a good delivery service. You say, well, I'm going to have to go to a restaurant. So when you've got your restaurants, you come out from the studio, back from a long day's work, and you have a restaurant. It's sort of encompassed, you know, the first thing in the morning, you can have breakfast there, go to the studio, come back, and you've got a restaurant. And you're making money with it, which is, you know, even better. So you know, free meals and So but it was a lot of work, I have to say.
Yeah. And with Gordon Ramsay? Fun.
Gordon is a, you know, terrific guy. He opened just down the road from us, the Claridge's, because we're on Brook Street, Bond Street, Brook Street, on the corner. And then when we opened our second one on St. James's, he opened just down the road too. So I don't know, was it he who was following or was I following? It was quite amusing. And the joke was, you know, we opened on St. James's and we also were off Bond Street. And I thought that was quite a good omen, James Bond.
Yes, brilliant.
Pretty cool.
Brilliant.
Pretty cool. So the old man, he did a movie in the 50s for MGM called Gold and the Seven Saints. And he ended up doing a film called Gold. He then ended up playing the Saint and then 007. So in that title, yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess that was my thing. It was, you know, James Bond, you know, St. James's and Bond Street.
Yes. So with, I mean, I think you need to write a book. There's definitely a book in you with all these stories.
Oh, a coffee table book. It'd be very short.
No. I mean, have you ever thought about it?
Yes, yes. It comes with a sleeping bag. You know, like that'd be a good, good seller. Buy the book and you get a sleeping bag with it.
Come on. No, seriously. You've got great stories to tell about your life, yeah. Your childhood, your father, your career. I mean, so much there.
Well, I think that's my preemption plan. When all else fails, then I'll write a book.
Yeah. Brilliant. Okay.
I'm still not there yet.
Okay. No, I'm good. Still there. Good.
But the album. To do. There's still more to do. And, you know, if you think how long it took me to pull this album off, granted there was COVID, so that shaved a year off the actual running order of years. But during COVID, that year of dormancy, I wrote so many more ideas, so many more jingles on the piano. And the test was, I've got my dictaphone, my phone next to me. I wouldn't record it. I'd come back an hour later. And if I could remember what I did, then I knew I was onto something, opposed to thinking that's good and you waste all this time and you think, you know what, I probably nummified something better that I could have done or have heard something better and step away from it fast and not continue. I'll know exactly when, I know when something I go, I can work with that. I can work with that. So I've got an array of ideas. So if this album works, the record label will be happy to know that, because if it succeeds, they're going to say, right, next.
Yeah.
And I've got some an ace up my sleeve. I really do. And if you like this album and it works, then the next stuff will be better because I'm far more I mean, it's my first album, it's the first time I've really written a proper song, 13 songs with a story. There is an arc. This is the Bible to me of, you know, my first chapter of, you know, my first recollection of the 70s and 80s. And that's why Photograph, the album cover, is a picture of me looking very, very sort of, you know, my mother dressed me up and it wasn't a stage. It does look like it's, I don't know if you've seen the album cover, but it really does look like, you know, what a little pont.
I didn't think that, actually, I promise you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. But you know why the album's called Photograph? It's because when I saw that photograph, I went, goodness, that's when I recall the first sort of, you know, sounds. And it's sort of, you know, from, it was predominantly English. And then I spent time in the States. I must have spent almost half my life there. And so the influence in the album is very much America and England sounds. So, you know, there's a bit of Tom Petty. There's a bit of Tears for Fears, a bit of ZZ Top kind of vibe. And then the electronic stuff, you can always hear it. It's a sort of an undertow of electronic. So I'm using live instruments with electronic. There's sort of a bit of a, you'll check out the album. You'll see what I mean.
Oh, definitely.
And remember, if you buy two CDs, it comes with a sleeping bag.
Good stuff. And proceeds being donated to UNICEF, which is a huge
very
plus.
Important.
Well, yeah, if people want to get the album, it's called Photograph. And the song that we're going to play now is You and I, which is featuring Naya Rivera. And people can get both from all the usual outlets, can't they?
Yes, they can. And do check out the YouTube, the Jaffa Moore, You and I.
Definitely.
It's a really who's who. And all these people that were so kind to have contributed their time.
It is fantastic.
And, well, you know, Nile Rodgers playing on it, that doesn't get any better.
Absolutely. Well, it's been an absolute joy having you with us on the show. Jaffa Moore, thank you so much for joining us. And I look forward to reading your autobiography in many decades' time.
Yeah, and before that, hopefully the second album.
Yes, yes, the second album.
On the fourth album.
At least.
Bless you, Hannah. Thank
Thanks
you so much.
You take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.